Dr. Missy. Welcome to Ezekiel's Will, the 15-minute rev. I know I'm late. I'm late because I had to put my YouTube channel on hold for a week. I got a strike. So anyway, I'm going to be recording on this for this week, but I'll also be putting myself and the 15-minute rev on Rumble at MissyH123. Go check me out on Rumble if you want to get all of my... all of my videos, the latest and greatest, especially last Friday's. They took it down last Friday, so go grab it. It talks about a lot of intense stuff that's going on right now, and so I'm going to hopefully be able to update you today without getting kicked off this one. You want to go get connected, though. Go subscribe on my Rumble page. I'm also on a few other platforms. I'm on Patreon and Apple, it's the Apple podcast and stuff like that. So we're everywhere. You can still catch Ezekiel's Will. We also have ezekielswill.org if you go check me out right here. We're going to be putting a subscribe button out there soon enough for you guys so you can actually check us out there. But definitely we're getting updated. It's just the times that we live in. Nothing to cry about, nothing to be stressed out about. But I want to welcome you to Monday, guys. I'm always glad to sit here and talk to you guys and give you the updates on what's going on in the spirit, what's going on in the natural, what's going on in the news. And so I hope you've had a great weekend. Hope you had a great Monday so far. Again, I'm sorry that I'm late. I'm really late, like 2.5 hours late. But everything's finally coming to a climax. Everything's finally coming to a climax, just like QAnon said it would. And if you want to check out my Friday's YouTube video, definitely go over to Rumble at MissyH123. That's my channel over there. So go check it out. That's where God's taking me in the future. I think it's going to be on Rumble because I'm really sensing that in the future for the changes that are coming, that YouTube's going to be going down actually permanently, as well as some of these other big tech companies. And so judgment's here at the door. If you've got your broadcast and things over at these other platforms, you might want to think of an alternative or a backup plan. But that's pretty much where we're headed right now. That's what I'm sensing by the Spirit. So I hope you're having a great Monday. Did anybody hear TRUMP's Ohio speech the other night? It was actually phenomenal because he's really calling out the corrupt government. He's calling out the government mountain. He's calling out everything. And I believe that he is an oracle for the Lord, as well as having a Cyrus anointing and being used by God to call out a lot of corruption everywhere. The prophets are out in droves. If you haven't heard Kent Christmas's his last speech, I think it was on Saturday or Sunday night, where the prophet got up there and he was hopping mad about the different things that are going on in the nation, and that God has had enough. God has absolutely had enough. And so go check out that. Trump's speech is on Rumble as well, on And We Know. If you've never heard of that broadcast, you want to go check them out, as well as Just Informed Talk Radio. You can go on Telegram and check out QAnon as well. I was watching Simon Parks at one point with Charlie Ward, as well as watching True Prophets. You guys want to track with the prophets, because when you track with the prophets, you're blessed. Such as Kat Kerr, Kent Christmas, Tim Sheets are a few of the ones I listen to. Robin Bullock, just to name a few. There are a lot of good voices out there, but you want to track with the True Prophets because it helps you stay on track with regard to moving forward. And especially it helps you not to quit and give up, because it's easy to do that in this day and time. And I believe that God's saying, keep fighting. And it's just like TRUMP said, that he knows everybody's tired right now. He's tired. He's tired. The white hats are tired. And so, but we're staying there because we're staying in the fight because we're almost there. And I'm just trying to encourage you too, intercessor and front runner, don't quit and don't give up just because you don't see the results that you think you should be seeing, because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And the whole gamut of the whole, like the umbrella of everything, the overview, think overview, with everything God is doing right now, it's indicative of how we should walk our faith walk, in that, you know, just because we don't see things happening when we think they should be happening with regard to our personal lives or the nation or regards to answered prayer or what have you, doesn't mean something's not happening. The Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man or woman availeth much. And so if we're going to see answers and we're going to see miracles, times, wonders, and the different things that God promises us would happen, and we're going to be miracle makers, that means we have to stay in the game. And if you've been at something a while, know that some things take time. God just, this is not McDonald's. This is not Burger King. We don't get things our way. And so I want to encourage you to stay in the game. I want to encourage you to keep your focus. And I want to encourage you to keep praying if you're a front runner or intercessor. God knows you're tired. A lot of people are running on empty right now. And I'm running on empty today. I've got about 5.5 hours of sleep because God kept me up with a lot of prophetic dreams last night. And so a lot of that's happening too as we come closer to the glory. I've noticed that as we came out of this head of the year, that the prophetic anointing is like I've never seen it before. The accuracy, the specificness and the detailedness that God is just placing in and around us. I'm seeing visions off the chain right now. It's like every time I turn around, I'm seeing a vision. And I'm getting prophetic insight and prophetic words and things like that. And so God is on the job. He's definitely on the scene and he's working on it right now. And so I want to encourage every one of you guys to just listen to the prophets, stay on track, keep praying. But I want to tell you what's happened with our teams in the last couple days too, because the Lord's been giving prophetic insight as well as to why we haven't seen what we think we should be seeing yet. So if you haven't noticed on this new level, since we broke through the head of the year in September, we hit a new level of witchcraft that we've never dealt with before. So I told you on one of my last broadcasts, like 2 to 3 15 minute revs ago, that we were head to head. If you're obedient and you've been walking forward with the Lord and you've been doing everything the Lord's been telling you to do, you're probably operating at very high levels in the courtrooms of heaven right now, or very high levels in the spirit, hopefully. That's my hope for most of the people of God right now. If you're not and you're still getting hammered, that means you need to do some heart work. That means you need to get deliverance. And I don't care if you say, well, Dr. Missy, I've been getting deliverance left and right, or blah, 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 blah. Just keep going. Because deliverance is the key. Deliverance is what's going to help you draw near to God, and he's going to draw near to you, because that means that there's something keeping you from moving up your mountain and keeping you from entering into the deep places of the spirit, which is where you want to be right now. I realize we all have different callings and things like that, and people are called to do different functions in the body of Christ. But regardless, we're called to climb. We're always called to climb. But I was noticing, it's like I've been wondering, you know, the prophetic words of the prophets, the true prophets especially, usually come to pass right away, okay, until we hit this new level. And I started recognizing and asking the Lord, because I was like, what's the holdup? What's the holdup, Lord? What is hindering you from answering these prayers? And the Lord said, because they don't know how to, a lot of these prophets, I mean, they pray, and some know how to operate in the courts, others aren't as savvy in the courts, and so they're not really familiar with how to operate in the high levels of the spirit. And they're prophesying way out in the spirit, but their words are getting hung up by the witches and Satanists, because they're releasing spells through cosmos magic and galactical magic and planetary magic. I could go on and on, but you need to be binding those things and breaking those things off. If you're a front runner and intercessor, especially, you need to be collapsing the enemy's ability to come into your atmospheres and nullifying those types of magic, melting their tag-like connections to your atmospheres. Psalms 104:4 fire, and nullifying all the magic behind them and nullifying all the ingredients on their altars. Tag-likes connects their altars to the magic itself, and then they can release it into your atmosphere and hold your stuff back. And we all die for lack of wisdom and understanding, right? So what we don't know can harm us. It can harm us. But the good thing is that if God has a calling on your life, he always makes a way where there is no way. So our only charge is to continuing on. Because eventually the answer will come if we're seeking God. If we seek God, we abide in him, he's going to abide in us, and the answers definitely come. So definitely be asking him about that. But our teams went into the galactical courts this morning, and we stood by proxy for a lot of the big prophets. And we went into war with regard to these altars and this magic. And we were asking Lord how to break it off, and we were breaking it off, and all of a sudden we saw this shooting up like a big fountain of white glory. And I was like, wow, I'm hoping that's what I'm seeing as far as hoping this is that. But we got a release at the whole end of it when it was all over with, and we knew we had broken into the new, and God had confirmed that to us. And so we're going to be watching the news in the next couple of days looking for answers. But I'm sensing like the last 3 days, everything is definitely, it's crescendoing. It's definitely crescendoing right now, where change is right there on the horizon. So just bear with it is all I'm going to tell you, because we're in a season where God is cleaning up society. He's cleaning up government, but he's definitely cleaning up the church. You can rest assured of that. He's in the middle of the mix of the church, and the church is like a bunch of chickens with their feathers ruffled right now. They're like, what are you, who do you think you are? Getting all angry at the prophets and getting all angry at prophetic voices and mine included. And who do you think you are? And so if you don't do anything else, make sure you're aligning with God's house. When he's telling you to do something, obey. So God's actually been talking to me a little bit about what's hitting his people right now with regard to witchcraft. And if you're feeling major fatigue, I'm talking major fatigue, the enemy's really trying to spread God's people really thin for the more mature ones out there. He's trying to spread us more thinly because they think it gives them more power. But the good news for us is that there are more of us than there are of them. Have you ever thought about that? 2 Kings 6:16. There are more that are for us than are against us. Have you thought about that? There are more Christians in the nation than there are non-believers or Satanists and witches. And so as long as you understand that point, release 2 Kings 6:16. There are more that are for you than are against you. But the Lord says to keep praying against their power, their strength, their focus. Go against their ability to sleep. They're coming at yours. But definitely be praying protection over yours. If you're going to hit them in any area, pray protection over yours first and then hit them in that area. Which brings us actually into the message today. Based on Jeremiah 16:16 verses, or through Jeremiah 18:23, which is talking about the four seasons that Jeremiah walked through. And at first I kind of thought this was kind of a weird topic, but then I got the gist of what God was saying, because Jeremiah, I don't know if you're aware of, Jeremiah was a single prophet. He was a single man, wasn't married. But every season that he walked in depicted the season that the body of Christ was walking in. And people thought he was weird. They're like, you know, you don't make sense. But they didn't understand the message of Christ on his life. And I really, really sense that this is actually going on too with a lot of different single people's lives in this day and time. Because there are a lot of single people out there with prophetic gifts, fivefold giftings. And a lot of people have wondered, why hasn't my life changed? I've been praying for a mate for so long. Why hasn't this changed? And the Lord said, because first, I have a calling on your life. And secondly, because it's actually the second one precedes the first one, because God says his kingdom principles, his kingdom mandate will always precede our heart's desires. And so when he has a mandate on a prophetic life, on a prophetic vessel, sometimes he'll make that vessel walk out the mandate. And it's easier if you think about it. I'm going to be talking about this in a second too. Sometimes, and this isn't for everybody, because if you have a desire in your heart to be married, God put that desire there. So don't freak out by what I'm saying. Some people do well alone. Some vessels do better alone. They're okay with being alone. They're okay with walking and doing life out alone, because they get their love tank filled in other ways. God makes it a point for all of us to feel loved in some way or another, but they don't have to have another vessel coming and sharpening their iron. That's what that means. They don't need another vessel coming in. They're getting her iron sharpened in many different avenues. God knows I am. I mean, sparks are all over the place in my world all the time. And so I'm getting sharpened by many different avenues as a single person. So to me, I am very satisfied being alone. I actually never thought I would say that, but I'm kind of selfish about it, to be honest with you. I like my singleness. And I think it has to do with the times that we live in. Because 20 years I sensed the way that people were behaving and getting caught up in the spirit of Jezebel. And I recognized the difficulty that people were already having during that time relating. I was watching it affect marriages. I was watching it affect friendships. I was watching it affect all types of relationships on the whole, and people didn't even know what they were dealing with. And I observed this, and I thought, wow, if that's the case, because it makes it really difficult to date when you've got a spirit of manipulation and control affecting another vessel around you who doesn't trust love, doesn't trust God, and it doesn't allow a person to make decisions on their own. So it's that spirit's always trying to manipulate and control through the other vessels around us to force their way instead of allowing God's will. And so I observed this. And so going back to Jeremiah, sometimes it's better to do life alone with, you know, other people doing life with you so you're not isolated. Don't hear me wrong on that one. I mean, because there's always accountability in my life. But I really agreed with this when I saw this because of the different things that I watched God doing as well within the body. And so I can relate with Jeremiah is what I'm trying to say. So going back to Jeremiah, the seasons of Jeremiah's life represented the seasons that the body of Christ were walking through heart-wise. Have you ever read that? Go check out that book if you're curious. But many hearts in his society in his day had grown cold, which meant there was a lack of love within the people. Have you ever felt like that in your society or in your atmospheres, that nobody seems to know how to love anymore? Nobody understands. They're not patient with one another. They're not kind. They don't seem to understand the attributes of love. Love is patient. It's kind. It's long-suffering. Keeps no records of wrongs. All these different attributes. If you don't know what that is, go check out 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. But in Jeremiah's observation, the first season that he walked through was a singleness and it was symbolic of feeling unloved or being barren, a barrenness around him. His world was sterile, and he just thought, gosh, you know, what is going on here? And it's kind of like, you know, what a lot of people I'm seeing in this day and time, because of people refusing to change or be changed. They refuse, they're demanding their own way when the Bible says that love never demands its own way. So we're seeing the flesh creep in here, which is what I've been observing too as a prophetic voice the last 20, 25 years, and watching people slowly creep into operating in the carnal flesh and demanding what they want instead of what God says love is. So when the church refuses to change or be changed, they get caught up into stony heartedness, which can make the altars of that heart corrupt. Did you know that? You have an altar on your heart. And when you continually operate in the same behaviors over and over again, and you refuse to admit your weaknesses when God's placing his finger on things, and people don't like that truth. People don't like the truths of God when he's trying to tell us, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should consider a better way. If something's not working for you, maybe you should consider doing things a different way. And so God has tried to be nice about this. He's tried to be blunt about this. I think he's gone all the way around the mountain with a lot of his people. And he's saying, now we're at this place in the body of Christ where God is getting very, very blunt and saying, either get it together or get left behind. And if you get left behind, that means you're going to get left behind in the muck and the mire of what's kept you stuck out of the blessing for years. And so the Lord is adamant in this day and time. If people are having a hard time and they're getting offended at the truth, which is a real good indicator that, you know, God's over the target on something in your life, that usually means that God's coming in to correct you and to help treat the issue. He's coming in as the doctor, which is what this chapter points out. And I also want to point out too, going back to the idea of singleness for single people or single front runners and prophets. Just because you're single, and this is on topic, just because you're single doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Okay? Could it be that you've been so obedient in past seasons, single prophet, that God realized you could move faster by the Spirit alone than you could if you were married? Did you ever think about that? Some people are so fast at learning and so fast at comprehending truth and grasping the spiritual concepts, they start flying through the Spirit. They start flying forward in the spirit. And God sees that acceleration on your vessel. And he's like, why would I hold you back? And I'm not saying married, being married would hold you back. But sometimes it does. And I'll tell you why. Being married sometimes, when you choose to get married, it's a good thing. The Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And it's usually to help you in your journey. Because two are better than one. If one falls down, the other one can help you up. The same is true for a single person when you've got friends. That's why he tells us not to get isolated. Don't let yourself get isolated. Keep your love tanks full. Make sure that the devil can't get you off by yourself to where you'll get off in sin or to where you're easily picked off. That's why it's not good for you to be alone. But for those who are strong in the spirit and you grasp his concepts readily, sometimes being married would be a hindrance to you because not everybody has the ability to move as fast as you in the spirit. And so God's like, why would I saddle you with that when that's not for this season? So God has obviously placed a mantle on you to get some things done for him because you move so fast in the spirit to help achieve kingdom principles for your region. And if you were to have been married before this point, your spouse might not have been able to keep up with you, which would have meant you would have been on different spiritual pages. Okay, have you ever met a friend like that or a boss like that or a family member like that where you're on different spiritual pages because you've grown so much in the spirit and they're choosing to stay the same? And they haven't grown. They've chosen not to change or be changed. They don't even think they have a problem. That's what happens. You're on two different spiritual pages. And so that's what marriedness would create in your life had God allowed that in this season. But God has a better plan. So don't ever think you've done something wrong because of that. God's got a better plan. So a lot of things are happening. The same thing happened to Jeremiah. And a lot of things were told to him by the Lord when God gave him very strict directives. And the Lord said it was much easier for him to face the spiritual difficulties as a single man than having to face them with a mate when others might not have chosen to get free. But the Lord is saying too in this hour, if you are married, you're in covenant, so your ability to work out those differences is between you and your spouse and God in order to have peace in your household. But you need to make sure you're equally yoked because of the problems that Christians are facing right now, whether they're married, single, or in friendships, etc., etc. So it's important, if you notice the message today, the message is about making sure we want to change, making sure that we're willing to be changed when God puts his finger on things. Because it's easy for me to come on here and talk to you guys about this stuff, even as a single person, because I don't have the same challenges that a lot of people have. However, I will tell you that the whole heart message today is God saying, I want your heart to match my own. I need to see myself in you. That's what he's saying for the church right now. And I really, really feel like God is very upset with the church because of the condition of the church in this hour. A lot of people don't know what to do. So let's move forward. The Lord's saying the second issue that Jeremiah faced in this hour was that he was told not to mourn. He was told to stay single. He was told not to mourn. And it was basically indicative of when we're not allowed to have feelings or compassion or not to express those emotions to people around us when we see all this bad stuff happening. And that's kind of hard. Have you ever thought about that? If I were Jeremiah, I would have been thinking, Lord, this is crazy. How can you help but not have strong emotion towards the conditions that we're seeing going on around us? And the Lord said, no, don't be upset. I'm observing hearts right now. I'm seeing who's for me and who's against me. I'm looking to see who's really going to keep kingdom principles or who's just going to do what's right in their own eyes. So don't you get caught up in mourning for this people group. Continue to march. And so the third thing God told them to do, not to celebrate. And the Lord said, if you notice, all around us right now, so we're seeing barrenness in our society. We're seeing people who lack empathy and compassion for people around them. And we see the prophets all calling this out in our society, saying, you're not showing any indicators that you even know what love is. So how can we mourn with you when you're upset because life isn't going well for you? And then he's saying, don't even celebrate them. Don't celebrate what they're doing right now because their lives aren't indicative of kingdom. They don't represent me. They're not representing me well, especially the church right now. Not all members. Let me retract that. Probably about 80%. I'm hoping that's going to dwindle down even more. So we've got about 20 to 15% of the body that's moving forward into the new things of God, the unknown things of God. And they're representing God's heart well. We're trying to come forward. We're trying to be who Christ has called us to be. We're doing our best to stay aligned. But we're changing and willing to be changed from season to season and glory to glory. But in this season, in this particular point, in the third point, Jeremiah noticed that the enemies of God, the people in his society, were very angry. Angry people. They were angry because they lacked love. Hence, they were growing more and more miserable by the moment and acting like it was everybody else's fault around them. But you have to understand one thing about anger. Did you realize that anger is a symptom of fear? It's only a symptom. The root issue of it is fear. So my real question to these types of people would be, what are you so afraid of? Of being wrong? Being wrong that there really might be a real holy God, which there is. His name is Jesus Christ. And then one of these days you're going to have to face him at the great white throne of judgment and having to answer for everything you've chosen not to do. And the same is true for those in the church who have chosen not to be changed. This is for unbelievers and carnal Christians or carnal, fleshly people. So God told Jeremiah not to celebrate them, but to let his life reflect what was coming upon this people group. Because God said death was imminent if they didn't change. Because if you don't change and you're not willing to be changed, then God can't bring you up to the higher levels of the Spirit where he can abide with you and you can abide in him. He can't be where sin is. So the fourth thing that God told Jeremiah once God depicted these three points, which was don't get into a relationship. Don't get lonely, because he was lonely. He was seeing the barrenness in society. Then he told him not to mourn over society. Then he said, don't celebrate them. But then the fourth thing he told him, he said, don't look back. Now that I've called you forward, don't look back. And so Jeremiah was basically told by God to keep going forward, whether he knew where he was going or not, because God was moving him into a new hope. And God was bringing the nation that was willing to come into this place forward into that place with him. So that's the four things that the Lord was telling him for this new place, this new season that we're stepping into right now. And although things seem like they're weird and it doesn't seem like a lot is happening, a lot is happening. Trust me. There's a much, much, much going on behind the scenes. So we're in the next, say, October, November, December. The next 3 months are a rest season. So God's trying to let you rest from all the warring you went through from April 30th of this year until September 15th. But even though we're in this rest season, it doesn't mean you stop praying. It doesn't mean you stop moving forward. It doesn't mean you stop changing. And so the rest of this season that I feel like that we're stepping into between now and January, God is actually saying, God is telling Jeremiah, I'm stepping you into a new hope and a new move of God. Kind of like the prophetic frontrunners for today. It's why many of our lives have seemed so weird or quirky and not following the normal pathways of society's expectations. Are you a prophetic voice that God uses? Are you a prophetic vessel that God uses? Maybe you're single, maybe you're married, I don't know. But our lives are in this weird place right now, this transitional place between now and January, where God is getting ready to jumpstart the new move. A lot of people are moving into learning about the courtrooms of heaven. I hope you are. Pardon me, if you're going to be successful from here on out, you're going to have to know about the courtrooms of heaven, to know how to war and to know how to bring God's kingdom come and his will be done. Because the courtrooms of heaven are God's tool for exploring different aspects of heaven. There are so many things to explore in heaven. I've been there so much and I love being there. But it's a tool. It's a multifaceted tool, the courts are, for intercessors and frontrunners or for Christians on the whole. But then you have for every new move of God, which that's only one facet of the tool. Another facet is learning about the holy angels. Another facet is learning about the different components within the courts. That's another facet. That's a Mike Parsons conversation. The angels is a Chris Carter conversation. And then there's times, dimension, realms, frequencies, seasons, and cycles of the spirit, which is a Dan Duval conversation. And then Ezekiel's Wills conversation is going to be talking about an overview perspective of how front runners, which is part of the new move, keep running on through to keep breaking the body out of the old into the new. That's another conversation. Go check that out at EzekielsWill.com. But for you right here, right now, if you feel discouraged in the current state of our national condition, God wants you to know he's on the job, he's working on it, and he's working out his plan for his purposes. He's not on your time schedule. He's on his own. And we're just called to align with him, to stay moving with him, so that we can continue staying in position to fulfill our individual mandates as a smaller part of the bigger mandate. And I honestly believe his main objective is to correct the corrupt church while kicking out the corrupt government. It's been on his heart for a long, long time. And so we're just in a waiting game right now, because the Lord is saying everything about what's happened at the head has affected the nation in this hour. What happens at the head trickles down like the oil on the beard of Aaron. And so God has to correct it, because all of the sins of the nation have been engraved on the heart of the nation. Do you realize when you sin? That's why the Lord said to be quick to repent. Because if you're not, the sin gets engraved on your heart. And God can only forgive when we repent so that it can be erased. Did you know that? So everybody thinks they know their heart, but when God shows up, we might be surprised by what he sees. And the things that he's been looking at within this nation have grieved him like never before in history. This is his gift to the world. America was his gift to the world. It was a melting pot of different hearts of love, different cultures that represented every aspect of his personality. Did you realize it represents the 12 tribes of Judah, or it was supposed to have, until America started being misled by corrupt leaders? And they're on both sides of the aisle, trust me. You can't just label it a political side. It's everybody's at fault, because there is no political side, actually. They're all in it for the same corrupt reason. Not all, but a lot. There are very few good-hearted leaders anymore. So the book of Jeremiah, therefore, represents the farmer for those who kept their faith. But those farmers had deep faith in God, and likely they became rooted as deep trees that survived the drought. Did you know that? And they're like, they speak to the body of Christ to talk about how to become a tree planted by rivers of living water during the tough seasons of life, instead of putting their faith in themselves, which make them like a shrub in the desert. Jeremiah also represents the doctor that came to heal. When the Lord comes on the scene, the Lord starts pointing out all of our issues that need to be healed. He's talked about deliverance. Get deliverance. Get deliverance. For those that will listen, get deep inner healing. But choose to change so that God can bring his super onto our natural and bring us on the same spiritual page as himself, so that we can love like he loves. And so that we'll quit fighting him and start walking in his ways again. Which brings us to the second point of the conversation, which is 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 5, 3. And it talks about the Christian who refuses to mature. I think, honestly, in this hour, God would be remiss and a poor parent if he didn't have expectations of us to grow up. I can't tell you how many people I see come to church every Sunday and they start getting into a routine. They go to the same church day in and day out, and they get this little thing going. And it's kind of like, I've noticed it, like you start off strong in your 20s. Maybe you're a young Christian, you got saved young. And then you start off and you run passionately in your early teens into your 20s. And then you start getting involved in life. Maybe you get married, maybe you have a family, and you start getting into your routine. And you've been going to the same church. Maybe you haven't, I don't know. But you get familiar with God. And then you lose focus on the real purpose of your walk or of your getting saved, which was to serve him, not him to serve you. And so the expectation of the Lord is like that of any parent when he redeems us. It's to get us more holy and to help us to mature and to be like any other productive adult in the kingdom. To help us to become wise, not just to sit on our laurels and expect everybody to come and serve us, and we start treating church as a social scene. That's not what church is. It's there to help you. People are there to help you do life with them. But they're not just there for you to go tell your problems to and to just go in and moan and complain and just stay the same. And you, all you're doing is using it as a venting source. That's not what church is there for. If you're not there to work on issues every Sunday and to listen to the word and let God put his finger on things, then you've missed the boat. You truly have missed the boat, and God's trying to get everybody refocused in this hour so we can become productive members of society and coming higher into his kingdom instead of degrading lower into the kingdom of darkness. But the problem the church is facing is that most religious church leaders have demanded to stay in old doctrines of demons or traditions of man, and they don't even know they're there. That's one of the biggest conditions in the body of Christ right now. Not to mention the fact that the flesh is pulling vessels down because leaders aren't correcting these vessels. They're not forcing them to maintain the standard of love. So the leaders are getting caught up in the same degradation that their body is. And they're the ones that are setting the standard, the low standard. And then they're preaching this low standard through doctrines of demons, traditions of man. So everything that they preach is from the flesh and not the spirit. Hence, that body stays immature. The entire body, the church body. You've heard about the Spirit of God writing Ichabod on the doors of some of these churches and says the glory has departed from you. They become dead churches. That's what's happening. That's consistent of, or it's depictive of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, where he talks about the valley of dry bones. That's what this is. This is this part of this valley of dry bones. The dead church. Can those dry bones live? Only you know, Lord. Only you know, because the dry bones occur because vessels aren't fed correctly. They're not fed meat. They're not fed the true word of God from the Spirit of God. Instead, we have preachers going to different sermon central or different sermon sites to write sermons for them. I'm like, aren't you listening to God? Aren't you trying to find out what he's trying to say for the word of this hour? Or is it too inconvenient for you? You've just gotten into a familiarity, into a mold, into a mode of operating, and then you're doing what's right in your own eyes instead of actually instructing your body about the way in which they're to walk, to give them points and instruction about what's happening around in their world right now to help them adapt and cope and move forward out of the darkness. It's bad. I'm not lying, it's bad. And then they get mad at voices like mine because we're saying the truth. And so the Lord is saying, if Christ died on a cross for you, if he purchased our bodies by his death, how well do you think it sets with him when we choose to stay in the flesh? How would that make you feel? If you lay down your life for another, we could use World War II vets as an example, who died in the beaches of Normandy. And then they come home and they're spit on and they're spat on and they're treated so disrespectfully. How would that make you feel? You sacrificed all that time fighting for freedom and fighting for the different peoples, the people group that you represented overseas, and then to come home and be treated like that. How would you feel? When Christ came down, he gave up his authority, not his authority, he gave up his whole kingdom temporarily to be born of a man, to mature and face a gruesome death on our behalf. How would that make you feel? Because I don't know about you, man, but to me, I would have kind of felt that my actions were a little in vain, if not appreciated by a people group or by a group of people who scoffed at my request when I asked them to act like I act, to speak as I speak, to love like I love. And see, the problem is everybody thinks that they know everything in this day and time. Everybody thinks that everything's okay, that everybody's okay, when obviously the the condition of society is depicting something else. It's depicting something else. And so everybody wants power today, but nobody seems to be willing to go through the suffering that it takes to get it. And when I mention the word suffering, everybody's like, woo, they're out the door. No, I don't want to do that. That's why nobody's willing to mature, because they watch people that are going through difficulty. See, that's another indicator that you're doing something right. Pardon me. An indicator that you're doing something right, just because you're in a valley doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. We move from faith to faith and glory to glory. We're going from valley to mountaintop, valley to mountaintop. We're learning to abase and abound at all times. We're learning to be joyful, whether in much or in little. Those are the people that are moving forward into the unknown, as per Kurt Landry. That's how you know you're aligned. But I guarantee you that it really, I would say, it gets on God's nerves a little bit when he's challenged by people who scoff at the prophets when they get rebuked, when they warn them, you better watch out. Because, and this is the seriousness of this conversation, is that when people choose to stay in the flesh, did you realize, even though you think you're okay, that everything's going to be well with your soul, I'm just going to go back to this apparatus of religion like a dog to my vomit. But what you don't realize is that as the light gets lighter, as the remnant is moving on ahead up the mountain and you're choosing to stay stuck down here, the darkness is climbing up around you. And don't think for a second it won't eat your lunch. It can get you killed in the natural. It can kill you off your physical body. Especially if you haven't allowed God's super to be added to your natural. Because the glory preserves and it protects. So these people in their anger, which is really a symptom of fear, they choose to stay in denial, denying the truth of the power which lies with the infilling of God's Spirit within and without. So when we choose not to grow, when we choose not to mature, when we choose to stay the same, and a lot of people don't like this conversation, they're like, oh, it's one of those conversations. No, really. It's a serious conversation for the hour, because your lack of maturity is hindering your blessings. It's hindering your destiny. It's hindering your desires. All these things, because you're afraid of having to go through and suffer. I'm telling you, the blessings, destiny, the anointing is there as a threshing floor. That's where warfare happens, to crush grapes, to bring forth new wine, to bring forth maturity, to press you out of the old and into the new. It's there with a purpose, to help you achieve destiny. That's what the purpose is for. And it also helps us to learn about the love of the Father and the Spirit, and the warm, unconditional love of Jesus, which is the true mark of a true child of God. So above all else, are those still struggling in the flesh? But I'm sorry, in this season, it really is about the heart. God's looking at the heart of the nation. He's looking at the heart of his people. He's looking at all the mountains, the government mountain, the arts and entertainment mountain, the education mountain, the family and church mountain, the media mountain. He's looking at it all. He's looking at every heart around the world, and he's saying, who has a heart like mine? Is it you? Is it you? And are you willing to go through in order to have the things you're asking me for? Because it's going to cost you something. It cost Jesus everything. But God's looking for a mature, sincere heart, not somebody that's too familiar with a holy God. So in this hour, this is getting very, very serious, because the Lord is basically saying to us, he's helping the believers who know love. He's saying, I'm teaching you to differentiate my own. Are you my own? So we either know God or we don't. This is how serious this conversation is. And I'm seeing it from the bottom to the top of this people group, because it's all about the motives of the heart. But the Lord is saying, if you choose to stay in your corruption, then don't be surprised when you hear, depart from me, at the end of your life. Don't you dare. Because the Lord says you chose to stay there. Which takes us into Psalms 81, 1 through 16. Talking about the things that were, the things that are, and the things that will come. Which is an invitation for the people to come back to Christ, or to come back to love. And the Lord is saying, regardless of where we're at in our walks, we're always going to be called to obey. There are no other choices. You don't get, this is not Burger King. This is not McDonald's. You don't get it your way. If you've chosen to give your life to Christ, and it's not your life anymore, by the way, it's his. You gave your life away because he laid down his for yours. So we are then at, we're at his disposal. And when he calls us to obey, he's saying, obey me. He's saying, do what I'm asking you to do. If I'm telling you, you've got an issue, I'm telling you, I'm seeing something you can't see. And he equates it to being raised by your natural appearance. And the Lord's saying, just because you can't see me in the natural, don't think I'm not there. Don't think the Father has left the room. He said, you obeyed your parents when you were growing up, didn't you? And that's because you were afraid of consequences. And the Lord's saying, there are consequences for disobedience in this hour. The Lord's saying, the problem that we have, though, in this society is that we've grown so arrogant as a people group that we forget how much God has done for us. And the Lord says that arrogance and familiarity, especially within the fivefold ministry group, where there's a high level of accountability because of those giftings, the gifts are irrevocable. But the Lord said it's easy to slip into laxness or forgetting that God is holy. It's easy to slip back into your routine. But the Lord says you need to always remember that I can't be where sin is. And when I tell you I'm coming to visit your house, when I tell you I'm drawing near because you've been praying for revival, when I tell you I'm drawing near, know that the truth is marching on. Know that when truth starts walking in the room, judgment's not far behind, because the truth brings revelation. It brings forth illumination. It can't help but put its spotlight on things in our life. And so God will start giving us a heads up when we're paying attention and putting his finger on things and saying, this is not me. That's not me. That won't fly. You got to clean that up. And people don't like the message right now because he's getting all up into our mix, but God can't be where sin is. So for the heart that chooses to stay in its own devices, actually it's the heart that's choosing to digress. Because if our hearts aren't growing forward, they're going backwards and they're open to the demonic. We don't have a choice but to go forward, people. We don't. So growth should always be on the forefront of our desire if we're going to continue to abide in this truth for the hour. So number one key to doing this is obedience. As a matter of fact, that's the only thing you told me. And the Lord said, obedience will take you as far as you're willing to obey God's standard. And the standard, the closer you come to Christ's heart, the more narrow the road. And I used to hear that as a kid, and I used to think, man, that is, that sounds so confining. And the Lord said, no, that's actually very freeing. That's actually very freeing, because the more you allow me to clean you up and to bring you higher, the more spiritual laws are activated on each level of your maturity, which actually causes that narrowing. That means you're willing to sacrifice your naturalness for my spirit in order to have me in your life that close. That's what that means. So obedience is what gets you there. And the Lord's saying in this hour, don't scoff at me. When I ask you to do something, just repent and get aligned, because I'm about to slam dunk the enemy and I don't want you getting caught in the crossfire. Which brings us into Proverbs 25, 6 through 8. As we wrap up this message today, and the Lord's saying, don't exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim to a place among his great men. It's better for him to say to you, come up here, than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. And what you've seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court. Basically, I had a mentor tell me that one time. I didn't know that was the scripture for that. Actually, I hadn't read that yet. But my mentors told me one time, she said, you know, Missy, don't ever seat yourself at the head of a table that God hasn't sat you at, lest the king come in himself and unseat you. Meaning, don't try to self-promote. Don't try to place yourself somewhere God hasn't called you to. So I learned very, very quickly that, you know, God is the one that promotes. We can't do anything apart from him. And through him, we can do all things. We can do all things. But this is definitely an hour where God is calling in integrity. He's calling us to align. He's calling us to see his heart for what he says it is. and for not what we think it is, and not being driven by our own flesh, which drives us to do these crazy things, like setting ourselves at the head of a table or doing things that are just absolutely loony. He's looking for an humble people. He already told us the first will be last and the last will be first. If we'll humble ourselves before him, he's the one that'll lift us up into position. So with that, I know it's kind of a quiet Monday. I actually got thrown off a little bit today because of that thing on YouTube. Again, go check me out. Go subscribe on Rumble if you want to check me out at MissyH123. I'm thinking about going over there. And I'm really seriously thinking about doing it permanently because I just kind of been getting this thing from the Lord. I'm not upset about what happened Friday, but I am, I sense that God is going to be bringing down a lot of these tech giants big time. And I've been getting it like the last month and a half. And so he's been getting me ready for it. And so we've been making different plans behind the scenes to get our website ready. And we'll hopefully have the subscribe button up for you soon enough so you guys can go subscribe and be notified when I go live. But we're live on there right now. We're live on these applications until they go away. I don't know, until he tells me what to do next. But check me out on Rumble. I'm definitely over there. You can do it on the website. And I'm on different social media platforms as well. I'm Buzzsprout, if you've ever heard of Buzzsprout, for Apple, different platforms for podcasting and stuff like that. Go check us out. Also, go check us out on EzekielsWill.org. We're here on Mondays and Fridays on the 15-Minute Rev. We're here to rev you up for the week and then rev you up for the weekend. But guys, please know we're here to get you ready for each season as we take you through C1, C2, C3, C4. If you're a front runner, and if you're looking for a tribe, definitely email me. YeshuaNavigator@gmail.com. But we're here to get you ready for season after season after season. So until I see you again on Friday, I hope you guys have a great week and stay focused. Don't lose heart. God's on the job. He's working on everything you've got your heart set for. I'll see you Friday on the 15-Minute Ref. Bye-bye, guys.